Amen. So thankful. So thankful for what God has. So thankful for hot dogs today, right? I hope you're going to stick around. You don't have to worry about lunch. We got lunch covered, okay? Turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2. We are in the final part of our series called Divine Privilege. Divine Privilege, where we've been examining really just Ephesians chapter 1 through Ephesians 2 verse 10, which is basically only 33 verses. So we're going to be continuing with that today. You know, about 3 years ago, our only daughter got married, and it was a beautiful, beautiful time. And of course, we secured a venue for the wedding and for the reception. And I recall that day that we were at the wedding. I remember running around trying to find like the manager of the place. Like, where are you? I got questions. I want to know if I can do this thing that I want to do. And I could not find them. I could not find them. The place wasn't that big. And I couldn't find them. And when I did find them, after talking to them for a minute, I realized I had full authority to do whatever I wanted. I could do whatever I wanted. When we paid the price, we gained authority over the whole facility, right? But I was acting like I didn't have authority. And so often as believers, we do that very thing. See, once you make Jesus the leader of your life, and you've declared him to be the Lord, the one you're following, and you've asked him to forgive you, there is a spiritual authority that you now walk in. We tend to forget that, and we go around looking and even begging for authority. Now, reality is, like when Lady and I paid the price for that venue, we had authority. Jesus paid the price for you to have authority. It's already paid for. And in other words, look, you have authority to deal with your depression when you're depressed. You have within you the authority to forgive. You can't say, I can't forgive. No, you have authority to do that. You don't have to hold on to that thing. When you see wrong being done in any venue, whether it be on the street, at work, if you see things being done wrongly, you have the authority to speak what is right. That's within you to do that. You have that authority already. You have the authority to defeat demonic oppression, demonic temptation. You have authority in all of these things. When you start to think, sometimes we all have done this at one point, well, this is just the way I am. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Not that you've, now that you've crossed that bridge and you're following Jesus Christ, there is an authority that you have, but you don't walk in it. We don't walk in it. That's the problem. The price has been paid. The price has been paid. But we walk as people who have to beg and hunt for something that's already been given. And man, God, help us. Help us in this. You know, I was thinking real quick, because this isn't part of the message, but it is now. You think about the story of the prodigal son. Most of you know the story of the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15, where Jesus tells a story. He tells a story of a young man who asked his father for his inheritance early, and he got the inheritance, which truly was an embarrassment to the father. He went off, blew it all, lost it all, was starving, and he comes to his senses and says, look, I'm just going to go back. I'm going to ask my father, don't treat me like a son. Treat me like a hired hand. And when he goes back to the father and entreats his father, saying, don't, I'm not a son. Just please, just make me a hired hand. The father does not even acknowledge what he says, right? He says he calls for the robe to be put on him, all right? And the signet ring. The signet ring, that's the family ring. It's the family sign of authority. And he put, in other words, he gave him full authority on the day he returned. He had sonship. He had full authority. You have full authority. You may be sitting here thinking, well, God, for so long I've known you and I've never dealt with this. I haven't dealt with this attitude in my life. I haven't dealt with this unforgiveness in my life. He says, look, today you still have authority. Today you still do. Today you can find freedom. You don't have to live in that place. You can't earn my authority. It's a gift. Amen? That is good news. That is good news, right? We could go home right now. We're not, because there's hot dogs, right? But But listen, let's pray right now. Let's just pray. Let's allow that to sink in. Father, we come before you. God, we thank you for the truth of your word. God, that we truly live in a divine privilege. We have privileges because we belong to God. Not because we earned it, not because we're good, but because the King is good. Father, help us catch that. And I want to break the schemes of the devil over people's lives, that we believe lies. We believe lies, God. Father, that we don't have authority. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, name your thing right now that you know you fight with. Some of you question whether he'll really provide for you. In the name of Jesus, break that lie. I have authority. Some of you wonder if you're just going to be lonely your whole lives. In the name of Jesus, we break that lie. Wonder if you'll ever be free from that addiction. In the name of Jesus, we break that lie. We walk in authority. Open us up, Father, for what you want to speak this morning now. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Okay, listen, we're concluding this series today. We've been using Ephesians chapter 1, the third verse. This has been our touchstone scripture as we've gone through this series. And this is Paul speaking, and he starts out this letter to the Ephesians. He's writing from prison to many of the Christians he would know. And he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Every spiritual blessing, right? I mean, the privileges that we have because we belong to Jesus. Paul wanted them to understand this. He wanted them to know it. It's a theme for him. The privileges that we have. You know, if you're going to buy a home, if you're going to go buy a home, what you're doing, of course, is you're looking online and you're starting to investigate this thing. And because you see online is all these pictures revealing the benefits of why you should buy this property. Right? And so you're looking at it. Well, it's spacious, it's renovated, it's air conditioned. Oh, look at the kitchen. I mean, we bought our house, one of the main reasons, because it had a dishwasher, right, lady? Yeah, so it had a dishwasher, right? That was a big benefit. That was a big benefit for us. And so after you look online, then you step up your investigation. It's okay, well, this looks pretty good. Let me make a phone call. And then you'll go visit the house because you want to verify that these things are true, that they're legitimate. And then you start looking at the cost. And you say, well, I'm doing a cost-benefit analysis. For what this house costs, is it worth it? Is it worth this great investment that I'm going to make? You know, and what we've been doing here in these past weeks is we've been investigating those benefits, because Christianity costs a lot. All right, this isn't, you know, Jesus didn't do a soft sell. He said, "Come and give me your life." All right, it's not a soft sell. He said, "This is going to cost you everything." He said, again, think about it. He's saying this is going to cost you your calendar. You no longer control it. You no longer have control of your money. You no longer have control of your future. You give up your dreams for my dreams. All right, and did I say money? He wants your money. Okay, I'll say it again. He wants your money, right? Because that's a hard one for us. We're saying he wants all these things. So if you're going to follow him, you got to believe the benefits are worth it. Amen? You've got to know that the benefits of God are real. And of course, we're in our fourth week of looking at this. Like he says, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. What are some of the things that we've covered in Ephesians chapter 1? This next slide. We see that these are benefits that you have. You have grace and peace. Grace is empowerment. You've been empowered by God, and you have peace of mind no matter what's going on in your life. That is priceless, right? There's no price on that. Holy and blameless. He says that you've been adopted into his family. You now belong to him. You've been forgiven, right? That was the prophetic word today. We sang about it in worship. And how about not just forgiven, but redeemed? Redeemed. He does not just forgive you. He says, "I'm giving you more value." When the prodigal son returned to his father didn't just forgive him. Forgiveness would have been, "Come and be a hired hand." He said, "I have redeemed you back to full value, and you have authority once again." That is what we have. We have an assurance of eternal life, Paul speaks of. And we've received the down payment of the Holy Spirit, of which we are eternally grateful, right? The power of the Holy Spirit. And we have this incomparable great power within us. That's what we've spoken of already, about the divine privileges of following Jesus Christ, right? And we want to reach these. We want to walk in these things. Because reality is, you look at that list and we can say, amen, I believe that. But if we were really walking in that, there'd be more power flowing out of our lives. Right? I mean, that's honest. That's being honest. I mean, if we really, really believed that and walked in it, there'd be more things happening. Now, we're thankful for what does happen. Amen. Thankful for transformed lives. Thankful for being able to reach out. But man, there's more. And we don't allow yourself to fall prey to thinking, I'm better than I used to be, so I'm okay. Now, don't compare yourself to yourself. You've proven you're a bad example, right? Don't be the example for yourself. I mean, Jesus is who I'm comparing myself to. So we want to be people who recognize the privileges here. You know, it's so important to hold fast to who we have, what we have in Christ, who He is. Because there are days where you're questioning if it's worth it. Right? Kind of like if you bought a house, if you bought a home, inevitably after about a month or so, you're thinking, man, that builder took me for a ride. I mean, look at this. Look at this, the workmanship. Look at there's. But you've got to remember the benefits. Okay, well, with Christ, there are days where it's like, God, I don't want to forgive that person. God, I don't want to be generous. God, I'm afraid to be generous. Right, those thoughts come. But you got to go back and remember these benefits. You got to remember. See, you've got, that's why one reason Paul says you've got to know this. You've got to know it. You've got to believe it. How good is God? How good is He? Can I just throw something out about prayer? Because we want answered prayer. You know, people who get answered prayer pray more, right? I mean, again, we pray. And so I want you to catch. See, we get way more answers to prayer than we realize because God doesn't answer, but He does not answer the way we desire. So often God answers your prayer not by changing your circumstance, but by changing you. He changes you. He strengthens you. Right? He transforms you. Right? And so you are getting answers to prayer, just not the way you'd like it. You'd like an easier road. Okay? He's not about the easier road. Right? He's about making you into His image because that's how you'll have more fulfillment. Say ouch or amen, whatever fits for you. Okay? Because that can hurt. All right, now. We've been talking, too, about the necessity here. Paul's making real clear, you've got to remember these things. You've got to remember it. You've got to remember it. We spoke of this last week, I believe. Ephesians chapter 1, same chapter. We covered this, and let's just read this together. Paul says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. So I want you to catch there out of that verse. That he's saying, I know you guys have faith. I've heard about it. You guys are rather renowned in how great your faith is. He says, so I'm going to pray for you. What does he pray? I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so you may be able to heal the sick. No. That you may be able to prophesy. No. That you may be able to preach and see people saved. No. What's he say? He says, that you may know Him better. Even though he already acknowledges up above in the text, he says, I know your faith. You people are filled with faith. But Paul's saying, but this is my prayer for you, that you would have more faith. My prayer is that you would trust Him more. My prayer is that you would know Him more. A couple of weeks ago, we spoke about the power of repetitive thinking. See, this Christian thing is repetitive. We've got to continue to drill ourselves on who God is and who I am through Him. Right? It's never going to stop. It is the same thing. And see, but if I keep focused on how good He is, it motivates me. It moves me to keep going forward. Okay? Because that is what this series is really about. You want to walk in divine privilege? First thing is to stay in that place. You've got to keep driving yourself. Who is God? What has He done? Who am I because of what He has done? Man, God, man, He wants it. That's His desire. Know them better. Know God better. Know Him better. Don't settle. One of the great concerns I have, even in a church like ours, which is a little, you know, we push the worship thing. Like we got to be in the presence of God. But we all know that there are days you come in here, for those that this is your home, you come in here, and at times, man, it's just hard to get into it. My mind's just other places, and the worship team isn't playing the right song. And, you know, we come up with all these things, these reasons. But man, I mean, catch that. I mean, what are we saying when we do that? What are we saying? You know, the one that has given all for you is not worthy of your attention today. Ah, right? See, but that's what we do when you come into his house and can't focus on him. You know, I know I frustrate my wife a lot in a lot of different ways. But one of the ways I do is that my, you know, I have issues with focus. I have issues with focus. I don't claim ADD, okay? I don't. So But I have some of those tendencies. I have some of those tendencies in my life. So, but focus. And I know I frustrate her the most when I can't focus. I mean, my mind's just bouncing. I'm not giving her my full attention. Okay? And that's hurtful. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I do that to some of you. Right? Okay, don't say amen. But I do those things. Okay? Now, and that's frustrating. Well, how much frustrating is that to the King of Kings who literally laid down his life for us? Man, come on. So again, so God, help me. Help us. I want to know you better. I want this prayer of Paul. God, pray this over myself. God, give me a spirit. I don't want a spirit to preach, God. I want more of your spirit that I could know you more. That's my desire. Let me know you. Because if I know you, everything else will take care of itself. Right? Okay, let's go on here. We're going to get into Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to run through these last 10 verses and see what we can learn. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul starts out, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and for your many sins." Many sins. This stick is up here, and you can see it used to be a branch, okay? But now it's dead. This stick will never produce life again. Okay, it's dead. What we need to recognize as Christians is before you came to Jesus Christ, you were as lifeless as this stick. We were dead. And honestly, that's a hard one to wrap our heads around at times. See, because most of us, we still think we were okay before I came to Jesus. And we fight that. I mean, we think, because there's some really, I know some really evil people, okay? But we listen, there's no different varying degrees of dead. Okay, this scripture says, you once were dead. There's not mostly dead. There's not half dead. You're either dead or you're not dead, right? This is you before Jesus Christ, lifeless. No life in it. You weren't producing life. You know, the idea that again, and we have to watch this, because out of our compassion and wanting to make God something that he's not, we'll even tell people, well, you know, people ask, well, that person's so good, surely they're going to heaven. No, they're not. No, they're not. No, you have to acknowledge that you are a sinner in need of a Savior to be able to punch your ticket. Okay, why? Because you're dead. You can produce nothing apart from him. And I believe God wants us to nail this down. See, because here's the thing. See, until you appreciate how dead you are, how lost you were before Jesus, it's hard to appreciate how saved you are. It's hard to appreciate how he's made you alive if you don't realize how dead you are. Okay? But if I recognize, man, I have nothing. I have nothing to offer God. The Greek word's nekros, dead, lifeless. And God, help us catch this. Help us catch this. And it says, well, why are we dead? Why are we dead? It says, because of your disobedience and your many sins. Disobedience. I said, I got the Greek word here. Paraptoma. Paraptoma, it means transgression, to transgress. It also means to trespass. Some of you may recall as a kid saying a prayer, Father, forgive us our trespasses. What's trespassing? Trespassing was you go in, you break a law. You don't go in here, but we go in. Okay? And most of us do it deliberately. Have any of you ever walked past a no trespassing sign? Yeah, right? You smirked at it. Okay, that doesn't apply to me, right? Listen, what we need to see is, when you trespass, it's rebellion. You know, when I deliberately do things that aren't right, right? I deliberately do, I trespass, I transgress against God. See, so it says there, one of the reasons that we're lost is that we trespass. Okay, we rebel against God, we do our own thing. Sin means, it goes on here, go back to the scripture please, Joe. It says that because of your disobedience, your many sins. Sins means to miss the mark. All right, miss the mark. I like comparing it to say we're shooting archery, we're shooting arrows. If you miss If you miss the target, okay, you didn't just miss the mark, you failed. It's a failure. You don't go on to the next round. You failed. Right? So why? Why are we lost? Why are you dead? Because you're rebellious and you failed. That's why. You're rebellious and you failed. And we need to grab hold of that we are dead. We're dead. How dead am I? Let's just look at this list. This is what the scripture says about being dead. Dead to Christ. Okay, again, it goes on. It goes through here. Take a picture of it if you wish. It says you're blind, a slave to sin, lover of darkness. You're sick, lost, an alien, a child of wrath. That's a nice one. Right? And so on. This is what we are before Jesus Christ. This is what I was before Jesus Christ. I wasn't a pretty good person who needed a behavior modification plan. Right? There was nothing to modify. You know, I wasn't out to find myself. Myself needed to die. Okay? I don't need to find me. I don't need to find. That's part of the problem. See, with, you know, the show's real popular now, Walking Dead, right? I've never watched it, but I know it's very popular. I mean, without Jesus, you truly are walking dead. People are walking, but they're dead. There's no life that can come out of them. You know, a life of a person who has not experienced new life in Christ is characterized by spiritual death. You know, there's no way for life to come out of a person who is not alive in Jesus Christ. You know, again, just like that tree branch, there's no way anything good can come out of it. But let's go forward now. Okay, so recognize we're dead. Thankfully, we serve a God of grace and mercy. Chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Paul says, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God, those who continue to rebel. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our own sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. See, catch this. He says, you used to be that way. You're not that way anymore. Amen? You're not that way. There's something that has changed. There's something that has happened. There's a difference in the way we live. But catch this, that it talks about nature here. All right. You lived in sin. All right. And the last line there, by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger. By our very nature. So we have a sin nature. And again, in our culture, we want to believe that people are inherently good. They're not. A little child in the cradle, all right, little children in the nursery right now, they are born sinners, okay? They're little sinners, okay? They're not little saints, all right? You know, if that burst your bubble, I mean, that needs to happen, okay? Because we want to see God the way he truly is, okay? Did you ever notice, like, we have the blessing of having our grandchildren very close to us right now, a couple of them living with us. And, you know, one thing that still amazes me is how you don't have to teach little kids to sin. You know, they just know to be selfish. They know to manipulate. They know how to ignore, right? They know. You do not have to teach sin. Why? Why? Because it's in the nature. It's in the nature. That's who we are. That's who we are. Psalm 51:5 says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Psalm 51:5. I mean, we are born in sin. It's a nature that we have. Now, we used to have that nature. Not anymore. Amen? This is, look quickly at 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. I just want to hit this. This is Paul speaking again. Same guy who wrote the letter to the Ephesian Christians is writing the letter to the Corinthian Christians. He says this, and he just listed it. A whole bunch of sins, whole bunch of trespasses. And he said, some of you were like that, but you were cleansed, you were made holy, you were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Man, isn't that good news? Right? That's who we used to be. But now that we've called on him, he says that you're cleansed. He doesn't just forgive you, he cleanses you. He cleanses you. You're brand new. He makes you holy, something we absolutely don't deserve. But think about this. Listen, because of Jesus Christ, you can look in the mirror and say, I'm holy. It's almost, some of us are like, I can't say that. Well, you're right, you can't. but through the power of God, the power of God's grace, yes, you can. And if you can't, either you have something that you need to deal with. You have some unrepentant thing that you're refusing to deal with and you're truly convicted, or you're being conned into damning yourself because you don't believe what the Bible says. So you're either convicted or condemned. You're one or the other. You're one or the other. Because you should be able to look in the mirror and say, I am holy through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not just forgiven. I'm not just a sinner saved by grace. That's good stuff. Let's keep rolling. You know, you catch this though about having to understand who you were. So you got to understand how dead you were to appreciate how good he is. And for some of us, again, it's easier because there, some of us were in great depravity. I mean, we were a lot of us were a mess. Some of us were a hot mess, right? I mean, right, that's reality. And, you know, when I was in Honduras recently, pastor of the church that we were ministering in, he was Honduran. He was in the States after he got to be a later teen. He was in jail. He was part of MS-13 gang. And he was in jail for murdering three people. And he got out. He was released from jail. He had told God, he got saved in jail. He got saved. And he told God, he said, if you get me out of here, I will go back to Honduras and start a church. Well, he had to get out of Honduras. The States deported him, so he had no choice there. But okay, he said, I will go back to Honduras and I will start a church. Now, here's the thing, and it's a vibrant church. The church is called Passion for Souls. A great name, huh? Passion for Souls. But the point is this. And he didn't deny killing these people. When you've committed murder, it's easier to catch this thing of I deserve absolute death and I deserve no good. Right? Like, I believe for him, when I think of Paul, like I see, Paul had such an understanding when you read his letters. He had such an understanding of how depraved he was. Because remember, he was the one that was marching around the countryside wanting to put Christians to death. Right? I mean, this was him. Like, but it gave him an easier appreciation on the back end. Because man, I know what depravity is. I was more than a hot mess. Most of us haven't been to that place. Some of us have. We've been to that place. It's like, nope, I know it's only by God's grace. Okay? See, but we have to choose. We have to recognize. Remember, there's no degree of death. Okay, you're either dead or you're not. Okay? So hold fast to that reality. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 6. You know, this is so cool when I look at this. See, because it starts with, but God is so rich in mercy. Every one of us have had a but God moment. But God. But God, rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. How did he give you life? When Jesus rose from the dead. The resurrection matters, right? He raised us from the dead along with Christ. See, because we were dead. You had to be raised from the dead. When you got saved, you were raised from the dead. Dead. All right? And we're seated in heavenly realms with him. There's so much in here to say. But again, but this whole thing of everyone has had a but God moment. And so thankful. So thankful for this reality. You know, I was filled with guilt and condemnation, but God. Right? Cassidy was saying, I was filled with hopelessness, but God. I was a liar, but God. I was bitter and would not forgive, but God. I had walls up to everyone around me, not letting anybody in, but God. What's your but God moment? Who were you before you had that supernatural encounter with him? Man, again, God comes in. He rolls in. And this is his story. Rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. So thankful for what he has done. Look at this real quick. John 5:24. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins. Look at the last part. They have already passed from death to life. See, again, I want you to catch that. He's already made you alive. It's not just mystical, magical. He's saying, look, this is what I see in the spirit. You were dead in Jesus because of his message when you believe it. You are now alive. Good news. That is good news. So good. Let's go back to that Ephesians 2, 4, 6. Okay, back here. Again, just look at this. He speaks of mercy. He speaks of love. He speaks of grace. You know, the mercy of God is not getting what you deserve. Right? When you have mercy, when you receive mercy, you deserve judgment, but you don't get it. Right? Love is speaking of the agape love of God, where he loves you regardless of what you've done. He stays faithful just like the prodigal father to the prodigal son. And grace, that's God's undeserved favor towards us. That great, it's his the undeserved power that we walk in, the empowerment that we have to be able to walk in God. Man, again, amazing, amazing. Three other words that we catch out of here. I want you to catch out of verse 6. It says, he raised us from the dead, seated us with him, and we're united with Jesus Christ. Those are some good words. You've been raised with him, right? You've been raised, seated with him. You know, there's a saying we have in the States about having a seat at the table, like giving someone a seat at the table where they have a place of influence. Is there a greater place of influence for you to sit than at the table with God? Again, so you have authority, recognizing who you are because of the gift of God, because of what we have in Jesus Christ. We now live in authority. That, again, thank God. So, and it says we're literally united with Jesus Christ. United with him. Good news. Good news. God, make it real to us that we can walk in the fullness of our divine privilege. Now, and again, and even as we're speaking of this, just to take a moment. Tonight we're having a growth track. Growth track, we do this 3 times a year. We do it at our North Braddock campus. It's about 30 minutes from right here on a Sunday. Okay, about 30 minutes. But it's 3 hours long. And you want to grow in God. You want to get into repetitive thinking. Give God your calendar. All right? Don't just control it yourself. And put yourself in position to grow. This is open. You can go. You can come and be part of it. Child care is now closed. Right, because that had to be, you had to sign up already, but you can go. We feed you because we want to make it easier for you to be able to come and grow. That's open to everybody. That happens today, late this afternoon at 5 o'clock. Let's go back now to verse 7. So remember, he's given you mercy, love. He's given you mercy, love, and grace. And he says you're raised, you're seated, you're united. Why? This is why. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness as shown in all of he has done for us. Think about that. Paul's saying, look, God wants you to walk in this and understand it because God wants to be able to point to you and say, look at my kids. Not just you as an individual, but churches. Because he says, point to us. He's talking about the whole church in Ephesus. Point to us and say, look at the example. Look at people who follow me. Just as God spoke of Job to the devil in Job chapter 1, if you go back and read that. Look at my servant Job. God's looking to say, hey, can I look at the Bridge City family and say this? They'll point to us and say, look at these people walking in the incredible wealth that they've received in Jesus Christ. I want to be part of that. I desire to be part of a family and a man who walks in that reality. The incredible wealth of his grace. Now, I'm a little older than most of you here. And one of the ways... Yeah, I said most, actually. Yeah, okay. But reality is... This is the way we spoke of grace back in the 80s, okay? Which to me is not long ago, all right? We just referred to it this way. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. We get everything, God, the incredible wealth, all this gifting from God at Christ's expense. That's grace. And that is what you get to live in. That's already been won for you in this place. Man, how do we do that? Man, you've got to be trained. You've got to put yourself. You've got to practice repetitive thinking. You've got to remind yourself, who is God? Well, that's why we worship the way we do. We lift up songs. We're declaring who he is. You know, God's the same next week as he is this week. It's not like we change the songs. Okay? Why? Because I need to remind myself. Verses 8 and 9. God saved you by his grace when you believed. You can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for good things we have done, so no man can boast about it. When I became a Christian, this is one of the first scriptures I memorized. just recognize, wait, I did not earn this. You cannot earn your place in heaven. You can't earn it. That's why all the works are dead. Your works are dead. You can't earn it. You have to recognize, I am powerless. Right? I can't do this. I am poor in spirit, as Jesus said in the Beatitudes. I have no good within me. I need forgiven to be able to be received by a holy God. I need forgiven to be received by a holy God, because I can never be good enough. All right? I mean, that's reality. It is a gift. It is, salvation is a gift. And of course, we're not just saved. Man, he literally redeems us. Okay. I want to live in all those divine privileges. Man, I want to live in it. Verse 10. Many people stop at verse 9. Let's go forward here real quick. Paul goes on to say, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. He's done good things. He planned these long ago. Think about this. You're his workmanship. Sint, you're part of God's workmanship. He's made you just the way you are. This brother I spoke to here, God made you the way you are. He made Channing just the way she is. He made you that way. You're a masterpiece. And he has prepared things for you to do. He's prepared things for Christian to do. He's prepared things for people for Christian to reach. He's probably prepared things for Christian to fund. Right? Again, right? Because that's what he does. He has good works. But think about it. He prepared them. They're out there. Some of them are obvious. But God has plans for you. He has plans. He's just saying, will you listen? Will you trust? Will you believe? Will you put yourself in that place? They're prepared. They're already set. As we conclude this, I just want to look at this list. This is the full list of divine privileges that we pulled out of Ephesians chapter 1 through 2nd chapter verse 10. And what we added to the list here today, right? You're already raised from the dead and seated with God. You're already there. You're alive. You were dead, now you're alive, right? And he has good and fulfilling works prepared for your future. This isn't just get along for the ride. This isn't just do what's good now, what feels good from here on out. No, there's works for us to do. There's works for us to do. From the youngest to the oldest, they are still there. I plan on running this race. I am not going to stop, because I want to walk in the divine privileges. I want to be one that can live out that verse 7 that says we're an example. I want us to be an example of who he is. Because reality is too, look, you cannot be an example without running together. You will never walk in the fullness of God's call on your life trying to do it on your own. Because there's so many that try to, they're good people. I think even good intention, just not understanding that you can serve God and be a strong disciple of God without connection to the church of Jesus Christ. You've got to be connected. You've got to be connected. That's where power is released at a greater degree. Right? So again, I want to be those people. Amen? You want to be those people? That's what we desire. But listen, how do we do it? You've got to get into this repetitive place of reminding yourself what God has promised you. Ephesians chapter 1, just a great chapter to remember. If you want to say tomorrow, you say, man, God, I got to remember who I am and what you've done. Read Ephesians chapter 1. Just read it. Look at all the promises. Look at what these are all the things that he's speaking. He says, you already are because of who he is. And then do it on Tuesday and Wednesday. How do you know how you're doing? What's the fruit of your life? There should be good fruit. If you're walking in these things, there should be a great peace of mind. If you're walking in this reality, there should be a joy oozing out of you. If you get squeezed, joy comes out. That's what should be happening, right? If you're living in this place, you want to build community. You want to include other Christians in your life because you want to encourage them. If this is in you, you want to share your faith and give it away. That's the fruit. Those are the things that should be happening if we're walking in the divine privilege that we have. Amen? That is what God has. That's what he has for us. Let's walk in that reality that we could fulfill those good works that he has. Let's all stand. And what we're going to do here today is that we're going to sing that last song once again, that 1,000 names. But again, it's picked specifically, because it's declaring who God is. We're reminding ourselves. A lot of our songs are reminding us what God has said in His promises. God is. All the names we'll be singing towards the end, that's who He is. God's not impressed with your words. He's not impressed that you're standing. He is impressed with your heart that will express that love to Him. Let's make this a prayer. Oh, no, let me pray with everyone first. Let's just pray right now. Father, we come before You. And God, I thank You, Lord, for Your presence here. Father, I'm asking right now, God, Father, that You stir us, Lord. God, that we would see the divine privileges that we have in You. And I didn't earn it. It is a gift. And Father God, there's some of us in here, we're saying, God, I repent that I never realized how dead I was. And others of us are thinking, God, I was so bad, I still can't believe You could raise me. He does raise you up. He does call us out. Thank You, Jesus.